Thank you. What would we do without our church brethren and sisters? You know, most of us have been somewhere in church function ever since we got saved. Before we were saved, we were somewhat involved. This morning I thought about what Dale Carnegie writes in his book, one of his books. He says, let me get this together. Sometimes you think that there would be other people that could do it better. But he says they're not doing it. So you have to go ahead anyhow. So I thought probably all the ones that could do it better were probably here working yesterday. Anyhow, let be that as I may. And I love allegories. And sometimes I've used allegories in poems. This message may be called an allegory. Anyhow, it's kind of like you're listening, that God is speaking to me, and you're just listening in. Let's turn to John chapter 10. verse 22, it says here, and it was at Jerusalem at the feast of the dedication, it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And they came, then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But believe me not, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What we want to see here is the Jews, they did not believe Jesus. They doubted who he was, even though after all that they had seen, his miracles. They could see the power of God, but they had other ideas. They didn't want him to be who he said he was. If there would be a title to this message, it would be, what is our life? John 14:6 says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Truth, the word truth has a force. It has power. It has power wherever we tell it. To the unbeliever, to our fellow believers, it has a force because it will never change. It is always the same. Okay, on July 1983, Air Canada had a plane that left Montreal headed for Edmund, Alberta. It was flight number 143, flying a 767 Boeing jet. 69 people on board. It was the captain's name was Robert Pearson. When they were about halfway across, close to Red Lake, Canada, an indicator on the cockpit said that one engine was running out of fuel. Pretty soon the engine stopped. They knew that this jet could fly with one engine. This particular jet has two engines. There's many of them in use. Pretty soon the other engine indicator came on, low in fuel. Pretty soon that engine stopped. Now they were essentially in a glider. They were dropping at the rate of 2,000 feet per minute, but they were still flying. So quickly, the second officer, they're trying to calculate where is the closest runway. Operating weight of that particular jet was 115 ton. They thought they could make it to they thought they could make it to Winnipeg, which was the closest main airfield. Quickly calculating, they figured they were going to be 15 miles short for gliding to there. They were flying at 42,000 feet. They only had 20 minutes before they hit the ground. Okay, so the first officer remembered that there was another airfield called Gimli. It's approximately 50 miles north of 50 miles north of Winnipeg. Gimli was a Royal Airfield from the Canada Air Force that was used, and this second officer remembered in his training or whatever he was involved in. So they were heading for there. Being said both engines shut down, it shut down their controls. Except Boeing had built in this particular jet and a turbine called a RAT. It was actually built for an emergency like this that dropped down below the fuselage with a propeller on it, propeller about the size of a small Cessna, that whenever it rotated, it built pressure for the hydraulic system that they could maneuver somewhat. Their transponder was shut down so that the nearest flight controls were not able to calculate exactly how far they were away. So there were men there that were experienced in the older style radars that could measure it with a ruler and could tell them about how far they were away. So they headed for Gimli. Now they did not have they didn't have any way to slow down the plane. Being that Captain Pearson was an experienced glider pilot, he put the plane into a side slip that is never done with a big airplane like that. It is done with small planes. I think that those who train for fly Cessnas are trained to put the plane into a side slip. It causes all kinds of vibration. The plane is kind of flying across the corner. It's flying sideways to lose elevation quickly so that they could make this particular airfield. What they didn't know was Gimli was not a regular airfield anymore. It was changed to a recreation where they had campers on it. They were doing go-kart races, drag strip. So as they approached, they were able to drop the gear. Anyhow, so the main gear was able to drop by gravity enough and lock into place. But the nose gear did not drop and lock into place. So now, here they were. So as they were heading down, they came to this runway. After they got there, sliding sideways in the air, straightening it out, coming down the runway, they seen all these people on the runway. Landing at about 180 knots was way too fast. I think a plane that size normally is about 140 knots, which is about 170 miles an hour. I remember asking a pilot once when we were deplaning, I don't know where it was, how fast are you going when you land? I remember he telling me about 170 mile an hour. Because the nose wheel was not locked in place, the nose was scraping the runway, which helped to slow them down. But they got the plane stopped after blowing out a couple tires. Here was a man. They got stopped within 100 feet or less of all the activity that was going on at Gimli. Here was a man that had done his homework, Mr. Pearson. The one who did not have his homework done was the man who fueled the plane whenever they left. Because this plane was only flying, I think, about 2 years. Evidently, he did not update his manual because they had changed it to the metric system for the measurement of fuel. And that was the reason. It was kind of like an honest mistake, I think. I don't know if he was charged for this or not. But anyhow, what do we want to see? This captain, with many hours of experience, knew his machine. In a way, he gave all he had. He went to every resource in his experience to save the people on board and the plane and himself. He didn't know that he was running on half empty. So there the question is, where is our life? Are we running on full? Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. I love Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, notice that, purged our sins. By himself, he didn't need Abraham or Moses. Purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty after he said it was finished. Verse 6 of chapter 2. But in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? This comes out of Psalms 8. Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him. God is saying that, they are saying that God gave man, he gave man dominion over the earth, over the what God had made. But that wasn't enough. In verse 9, he needed something else. He needed more than man, because he was fallible, as it were. But he says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. It's almost like this captain was almost tasting death for the good of his people. For it became him, verse 10, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Isn't that amazing that Jesus had to learn perfection through suffering? For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 16, chapter 2, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, of anything more divine, I don't know, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, meaning he took on him manhood, as it were. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So we are very thankful that Jesus went all that way for us. So where are we like today? Are we running on empty? So wouldn't it behoove us to fill up our tanks to full? For the sake that we are honoring Christ, for all what he has done for us. After all, we heard all the testimonies how that God answers prayers, how he gives us peace, even though we don't deserve it. But he made us, he became like us when he came from heaven. The Bible says that in Hebrews. So he could go all the way. There was nothing else he could do. God. And he did it. Not Jesus. I think Jesus volunteered when they had that little discussion back there. Think of it, before the foundation of the world. The Bible says that he was ordained the foundation of the world. I can just always like to think that Jesus volunteered to go, to come down here on this earth and die for us. So he didn't want to take on him the nature of angels, but he took on the nature of ourselves, even though he did not sin. Back to this airplane, they had to update their manual when they changed from the metric to the metric system. And this one man had not did his homework. Today, people sometimes want to update God's word. We said that the truth is always the same. It never changes. It still has the same power today than it did when Jesus came or before. When God said, when God made the earth and all that is in it. It is only man that updates for their own pleasure, updates the Bible for their own pleasure. The Bible says that they are thieves and robbers. One thing I was blessed, it says that the sheep did not hear them. They didn't hear the noise from the thieves and robbers that had something else to say. And it's like that today. The Bible says that God's children hear God's voice. So we as the sheep of God, even when we have our tanks full of the Word of God, we will not hear, as it were, the noise of the thieves and robbers. Because we have a much better version than they do. God's word does not change. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's not even any question that the word of God would change. So, we need to fill up the tank of our soul. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth, that is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. When we are full, we have fuel, the Word of God, to give to those that we are able to give encouragement from the Word that we have filled ourselves with, to teach Sunday school. We don't need to run on half empty, lest we would have to make an emergency landing. Jesus also says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Have we ever told Jesus that we love him? Did it occur to us that we need to? We tell our friends, our wives, and our children that we love them. John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So there we can get from the true vine, the true source of what we need to fill up with. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So let's remember that we cannot bear fruit of ourselves except we abide in the vine. He has promises here. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, in verse 6. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and your joy might be full. So, let us not fill up with non-essential fuel that blocks the fuel lines. Sports, news, fishing, hunting, novels, altered truth, so-called, compromised revelation. I'm not saying that it is wrong to read those things, but let's fill up with high-octane fuel. God's word. Also remember, a commentary is someone's interpretation. I love commentaries. But I always keep that, think about that. I want to read Psalm 71. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the wound. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. I was always amazed in Jesus' prayer on John 17 when he says that I sanctify myself. Here was the Son of God. The question remains, full or half empty? God bless you.